Hi and welcome back. This is episode number 292. Today I'm talking to Rocky Chan. He is the co-founder and president of EnterPH. EnterPH is a market entry consultancy. They help business people set up and enter the Philippines. Now, it's good to know for the audience out there that there are alternatives to going into the BPO supplier route. That's pretty much a turnkey done-for-you solution with the BPOs, whereas EnterPH is offering more of a DIY solution if you want to incorporate an entity here in the Philippines and then hire people directly and set up an office as you would do in your own hometown or home country. So I had a really good conversation with Rocky about exploring those alternatives. And of course, we inevitably discuss the coronavirus and how that impacts the business environment as well. So I certainly learned a lot, and I'm sure you will enjoy. If you want any of the show notes, go to outsourceaccelerator.com/podcast. Enjoy. Hi, Rocky. How are you?
Hey, Derek. Glad to be here. I'm doing pretty well, considering all things considered.
So, Rocky, you are the co-founder of EnterPH. It is a market entry consultancy. Can you explain for the audience exactly what that is?
Absolutely. So, we are a market entry consultancy. So, we assist foreign companies in doing their business here in the Philippines. I mean, I guess that would be the short description, right? So we position ourselves as kind of a one-stop shop for anything that they would need. Either we do it in-house, such as incorporation, some of the legal stuff, immigration matters, contracts, corporate secretarial services, or we work with a network of affiliated and partner companies in order to be able to give our clients kind of a holistic approach in doing business in the Philippines. So through our affiliated companies and our network partners, we can offer accounting and payroll, virtual offices, shared offices, HR services and recruitment. So pretty much everything that you would need to start your business, we would be able to at least, if not help you directly, at least point you in the right direction.
And for, again, the audience out there, you know, wondering why on earth they might want to set up a corporation in the Philippines, that we're not necessarily talking about setting up a factory or business over here, but some clients that have back offices here that want staffing here, instead of using BPO services, they can use an intermediary such as yourself to incorporate their own entity and basically do a DIY of building out their operation here.
Okay, so there are a lot of reasons why people would want to do that as opposed to just outsourcing it to a third party, right? For some, it's regulatory. If they are dealing with particularly sensitive material, such as if they are dealing with medical records, so they have HIPAA compliances if they're from the United States. If they're dealing with legal records, then they have ABA regulations, again, if you're coming from the United States. For some, it's a purely cost, it's purely cost related, because using third party BPO services is good until you get a certain scale. Once you've breached a certain number of people, then it starts to become pretty expensive to not do it on your own. So they decide to have that as an option. And finally, sometimes it's just a matter of control. Some companies, they just want to have control over every aspect of the operations, right? It may not even be a cost thing. They just want to make sure that they can assure their clients that the quality of the work that's coming out is fully within their grasp. So there are all these reasons why, you know, starting a business here in the Philippines on your own makes a lot of sense. And, you know, of course, there's that factor where the Philippines is actually a pretty great place if you're an expat. And I know that word has gotten around. And, you know, of course, pre-COVID-19, I have yet to hear of an expat that absolutely hated it here. Most of them actually, they find something in the Philippines that makes them want to call it home, whether they find, a really amazing place, they find, the lifestyle amazing, or they find love in the Philippines, all these other reasons why expats just seem to want to call the Philippines their home.
Yeah, no, of course. And, it is, it's a good place to do business and also a good place to, build a lifestyle. Rocky, I think things have changed when the BPO and outsourcing industry began sort of 25, 30 years ago now. The Philippines was, I suppose, a little bit more inhospitable, but also it was harder to set up operations because, certainly globalized operations, you needed super expensive infrastructure, servers, computing, whereas now everything is in the cloud, everything's plug and play. And also I think the friction of doing business has largely been removed in the Philippines. It's still not one of the easiest places to do business, but it's certainly getting easier. And I think that the BPO industry, if it doesn't stay relevant, is at risk of everyone just doing it themselves. And of course, NTPH is one of those services out there where people can sort of check on how they do that. But where do you see the different optionality? The Philippines is awash with people working for, onlinejobs.ph and Upwork and things like that. Do you see that as the future of employment for overseas work, or where do you see the landscape?
Okay, I think that at least for it does seem to be in vogue, especially given the current situation where you do have a lot of the gig economy has certainly matured within, or at least they were forced to mature over the past few months. But in as much that work is varied from place to place and from industry to industry, I don't, at least in the near future or even the medium future, medium term future, I don't see the offshoring industry dying. I don't take a lot of stock in the doom and gloom that the BPO industry is a sunset industry. And it's actually borne out by by recent past experience, right? While there may be for the bigger players out there, people are experiencing a little crunch. They want to be able to control their expenses a bit more, but I don't see the big players being made irrelevant. For at least the next 10, 15 years. Right, because there are still companies out there that they just need the work done. They have no interest in setting up their own shop. They have no interest in going through the admin work that you need to get done in order to have your own shop. And I think there is still a lot of room for growth in the BPO space. And I think we're just going to see a lot more, especially in the niche markets, in the niche industries, for example, within the BPO, such as design, such as more specialized dev work, especially since the talent in the Philippines tends to be growing in that direction. I think exciting times are still up ahead.
I'm certainly a proponent for doing things properly. And I think there's risk that, it's really easy to hire a VA online. They're freelancers, they're sitting at home, they're not properly employed. But it's not, really the best way of employing people for that person. But also it's not really the best sustainable and scalable way of building an operation. BPOs are often the fallback, but also there is the option of incorporating yourself. How do people know what to do? How do you compare the pros and cons of having a done for you service in a BPO versus going out and setting up your own thing?
Okay, it's a pretty involved process. I mean, just like anything, if it's worth doing, it's worth doing right. So When I sit myself before a client for the very first time, I actually don't talk about myself too much. I really want to talk about them. I ask them, give me, tell me as much as you can about the business that you're doing back in your home country, and tell me what your goals are here in the Philippines, right? And through that conversation, I get a lot of insight as to really their appetite, whether they want to really set this up on their own. And I know I get a better sense of their motivations, whether it's to cut costs, whether it's to get more control, whether it's to make sure that the work is done, or if it's a mix of all of those things. And I see the priority. And then that's when we make a decision, right? Whether we go for a third party, whether we set up on our own. Or, there are a few that it really just it's just limited work for a specified period of time. Then that's actually where getting somebody from Upwork, getting somebody from one of the other freelancer sites out there, that's when it actually makes sense. But if you're, and I don't want to, I use the term loosely, but if you're serious about starting and maintaining a continuing business here in the Philippines, then there's really no substitute for going at it on your own, right? There are more costs at the beginning, yes. There's more administrative work, there are more moving parts. But at the end of the day, I think the work tends to speak for itself. And I think that's really why most of my clients in this space really want to come here, right? They want to do something that makes sense for their business. And the great thing about the environment that we're working in now is that the Philippines is flexible enough to cater to every client, to cater to every client's needs when it comes to outsourcing and to offshoring work.
And what do you say to the concerns for the bureaucracy in the Philippines, setting up a company and all of the associated compliance, employment compliance and things? You know, it's complicated in any country. But you know, what do you say to the bureaucracy and complexity and the red tape issues that people are facing in the Philippines?
Okay, I know for a fact that I'm not going to say that there's none or that it's eased up in the past few years. Although, to be fair, things have actually kind of loosened up because, again, of COVID-19. I think the government was forced to mature and to ease up on the red tape and the bureaucracy, especially so. Social distancing can be maintained, right? And for example, just this afternoon, incorporating a company used to be, even though there was an online facility, it was actually much quicker if you went to the SEC on your own and you lined up. But it's getting a lot easier to do it online and just go to the SEC to physically submit your documents. But that said, when it comes to the bureaucracy, it's more of what you expect from the beginning. And once you've gone through those hurdles, then things ease up a lot more. Well, I mean, that's really why we're here, right? To kind of navigate our clients through all of that.
Where do you see the situation with COVID and coronavirus then, the current situation with business? You know, obviously the whole world has taken a hit, the global economy. Can you paint a picture for the Philippines, I suppose, both in terms of ease of doing business, but then also the government agencies and compliance?
Okay, let me start with a little history, right? And again, it seems to be confirmed by my own personal experience throughout the pandemic. Counterintuitively, the Philippines tends to do well when things are not so great worldwide. For example, the birth of the BPO industry, had its roots back in 1997 during the Asian financial crisis, right? So we started late 90s. That's when the first large BPO started coming in, and they really hit their stride in, oddly enough, 2008, when you had Wall Street, the collapse of Wall Street, and the global recession. And 2008 was actually the beginning of the bull run of the Philippines. It's actually when our good time started, and it really just recently slowed down. And when I say recently, I'm talking just within the past couple of years, right? And a lot of people are expecting that, as things start to loosen up after the coronavirus, we're expecting that kind of a rise again. And it seems to be confirmed by my own personal experience. I don't recall, I don't recall not being busy over the, over the lockdown. As maybe your audience doesn't know, but for the past until the past couple of weeks, Manila's actually been pretty much on lockdown. Nothing really has been moving. That said, I've been spending my days fielding inquiries, getting on calls, doing webinars, doing things like this, just kind of educating people and answering questions about, what it's like to do business in the Philippines, or answering questions about what can I do here in the Philippines. And this situation, the current situation, I mean, not to sound opportunistic, but I think it bodes well for at least the Philippines, right? And I spoke to an economics guy, and well, the quick answer is that one of our biggest weaknesses as an economy becomes one of our biggest strengths when it comes to times like this. So one of the biggest weaknesses in our economy is that we don't really export a lot, or at least the bulk of our GDP does not come from exports. We don't make a lot of things for export. We export a lot of labor, we export a lot of people, and we export a lot of services. And it's because of that that we tend not to feel global crunches as bad as, say, our neighbors that do export a lot of things, because they're buying raw materials at a certain rate, exchange rate, and then have to deal with a massive fluctuation in exchange rate because of economic forces due to an event like this.
Yeah, I think the Philippine economy is fascinating because, one of the biggest contributions towards GDP is the remittances from the overseas foreign workers. And, that's about 10% of the GDP, and that is reliant on the welfare of the economies overseas. And equally, the outsourcing industry, which also contributes about 10% to the GDP, or 11 or 12% now, is
Well,
again completely dependent on the well-being of companies overseas. So there's a lot of reliance on overseas health and wealth, isn't there? But interestingly, outsourcing is counter-cyclical, as you say. If the world is heading into recession, then people look to the Philippines and to the prospect of outsourcing to save them more money. So actually, in downturns, it can be a bit of a boom time for the Philippines and the BPO outsourcing industry. This podcast is brought to you by Outsource Accelerator. We are the world's leading outsourcing marketplace and advisory. We help big and small businesses with their outsourcing needs, and we can help you too. We cover everything from business and staffing strategy, optimal outsourcing structures, implementations, and fully managed services. If you're already outsourcing, about to start, or somewhere in between, then we can ensure that you get the best from outsourcing. That's the best prices, best terms, and of course, the best results from your outsourcing practices. We list over 700 outsourcing suppliers on our website, host this leading outsourcing podcast, and have over 5,000 pages of content. Because we span the entire market, we can ensure that you get the best deal possible. We offer everything from light brokerage, co-managed services, through to fully managed solutions. Get in touch today. Visit us at outsourceaccelerator.com/quote. Mention that you're a podcast listener and we will give you special attention plus a 10% discount. This is for a limited time only. Go to outsourceaccelerator.com/quote.
It certainly is. And there are, you know, one of the things that I've also I also noticed during lockdown is some industries, again, which does seem counterintuitive, you know, have made a lot of inquiries with us. So for example, I've had to field like 4 different inquiries from tourism related companies. I think the tourism industry is expecting a massive resurgence, you know, post lockdown.
It's been, you know, tabled to do very well in tourism in the future. It is still about a tenth of the tourism that Thailand gets, which, you know, I believe it should be at least equal to Thailand as it is in terms of beauty and tourism opportunity. But, you know, the entire tourism industry globally has been decimated. Do you see potential for rebound there? And are the industries here resilient enough to wait out a sort of 6 to 12 month hiatus?
Okay, so I'm not a tourism guy, but I do believe those are two things that we need to take separately. In terms of tourism bouncing back, I can say most definitely. Again, just based on everybody that I know, everybody's just itching to go somewhere. Of course, it's dependent on people who still have disposable income coming out of this, right? Excuse me. But for the most part, you know, I think people are just dying to go somewhere, you know, to enjoy some time with their family outside of the four walls of their home or their apartment or their house. Now, whether the tourism market or whether the businesses that are currently in place can weather the storm, however long it is, that's a tough question to ask. That's a tough question to answer because, you know, we're still not sure how long this is. We're still kind of in the middle of it. Hopefully we're at the tail end, but we're not quite there just yet. There are encouraging signs. Such as, you know, there are, you know, companies that like hotels that are currently catering as quarantine facilities. So that kind of tides them over until things can get back on track. But when it comes to like actual tourism, I think everybody will just have to take a wait and see approach, right?
And from this whole coronavirus thing, you know, have you seen, in, you know, coming back to outsourcing and business, are you seeing a lot of disruption in the status quo? You know, are businesses contacting you regarding the nature of their contracts, and, you know, maybe clients of BPO and outsourcing suppliers, are they reassessing where they are with things?
Yes, I think everybody is trying to figure out the best. So I guess for the audience, right, especially the ones that who have not heard about what's been going on in the Philippines, the BPO industry was actually one of those industries that remained open throughout lockdown. Unlike restaurants and retail, with the exception of retail outlets for essential goods, the BPOs were still in operation during lockdown. But what's coming out of it is, because of social distancing measures, you are going to see a lot of companies that are starting to adopt a work from home for those that can do it, because infrastructure, you know, internet connectivity, at least at the residential level, is still kind of a hit or miss proposition. But for those that can do it, companies are highly incentivizing people to stay home. And that in turn kind of, you know, obviously it has an effect on, you know, real estate and the amount of space that you know, companies are currently occupying. But when it comes to actual disruption, I think we're seeing a lot of, you know, technology plays on really mastering getting people to work collaboratively while being remote, right? So people are being forced to use all of these collaboration tools just so they can get the work done, even if they're physically not in the same room or in the same space.
Where do you see, the future of the work from home situation then? As you say, everyone has been forced into working from home. And actually, I sort of count the blessings of coronavirus happening now as opposed to 20 years ago, because it literally
Absolutely.
would have just closed down the entire society. Luckily, we do now have tools and communication devices that everyone can effectively do most of their work from wherever they want to be. But I think there's some sort of downsides to this becoming the new normal. As we say, there's already a propensity for people overseas to hire people in the Philippines on a freelance basis. Typically, then they're not properly employed, they're not paying government contributions, they don't have health insurance. Offices can be left empty. No one's paying tax. Do you see this potentially as a bit of a sort of unwinding of the formal society?
Absolutely not. I think we're going to feel the effects of that one in the short term, but then people are going to realize that work still requires structure, right? I don't know. Maybe I'm just of a certain generation, but I think work at the end of the day still requires a form of structure. It can be different, right? You can still have a work from home situation or have people remotely working, but still have that structure that is inevitably present in every successful business, right? Even companies that say that they have a very flat hierarchy, there's still structure, right? You still have teams, you have collaboration, you have people accountable to each other, right? And I think when you have businesses that rely solely on people who are not accountable to anybody, at least for the, you know, for the long term or the medium term, then there will be a breakdown. And I think people will realize that sooner rather than later, that there still needs to be some sort of structure. And that's where the disruption comes in. When, how do these companies, you know, reorganize or they rebuild their culture so that the employees still feel like they're a part of something? Because that, at the end of the day, still is a huge part of going to work. You want to be a part of something that's larger than yourself, right? Yes, you can enjoy the freedom of working on your own time, working out of the comforts of your own home. But at the end of the day, I think it's a basic human need to be a part of something bigger than yourself, right?
Yeah,
Whether it's
absolutely.
you being a part of a team, you leading a team, you leading an office. I think everybody wants to feel that sense of accomplishment that, you know, they've worked on something together with somebody else. So, you know, so we see a lot of the issues when people are isolated, right? You hear all these stories in not just here in the Philippines, but worldwide, how, you know, how people, mental health is starting to become a real issue for people who are isolated, who don't live with their families, who don't, where they can be online and in touch with people all day long, but at the end of the day, they still need that human contact. I don't think that's going anywhere anytime soon, especially for a culture like the Philippines. We are a very outgoing culture. We need to be around people. So, sure, for the short term, working from home, getting gig workers should be okay, but at the end of the day, I think. And I think sooner rather than later, possibly by end of this year or even or beginning of next year, we're going to start to see, you know, people making more sense out of their structures where they're not doing completely work from home. They're not doing completely work out of an office. So I think This is where you can have, one day, 2 day work from home, but you still have that ability to come into an office, to rid yourselves of the distraction of being at home, being with your kids all day long, and really get, put your nose to the grindstone and get things done.
I agree. I think the novelty of working from home, is short-lived, really. I think people still crave a community other than their own home life, and people crave a career. And I think those that are more sort of professionally focused, they want the professional environment, and they want the excitement of the city and the office. And that's still where you're going to find your best caliber candidates and best staff and get best productivity. So, I certainly hope that coronavirus goes away and leaves everyone to get back to normal. Rocky, I want to ask you as well, if people are, I see this as a little bit of the reshuffling of the deck of cards, and as we mentioned earlier, people are thinking whether their BPO services are still necessary, whether they should look at the contract and reassess, whether they're looking for a sort of partial work from home hybrid model, or whether they want to go freelance, or maybe they want to incorporate. What do you say to people now? Is it wait and see, wait for everything to settle down, or do you think there's a good opportunity for people to do the foundational stuff now and make that change?
I think, well, sorry, I know that the best time to start the foundational work is now. For most of the clients that have engaged with me, it was because they realized that this period, because things still take a while here in the Philippines, rough turnaround time for establishing a corporation and getting everything registered, this was about 2 to 3 months pre-COVID. Still not sure what it is like now, simply because we've just started coming out of lockdown a couple of weeks ago. But it does seem promising that at least we're going to have that same timeline, if not even shorter. So a lot of my clients, they want to get their company set up now. So by the time that, we can allow foreigners to come in to physically set up their offices, everything's ready for them, right? And I think, despite the reputation the Philippines has with regard to its bureaucracy, et cetera, as long as you're willing to wait it out, or to give it the appropriate amount of time, doing business in the Philippines is very, very doable without a lot of headache. I still actually have clients that I've never laid eyes on. And they've been my clients for the past 2 to 3 years. It is gotten to that point of maturity where you can set up your company remotely and then just come in once or twice just to meet the troops. So if you really are thinking about setting up your business in the Philippines and whatever it is, I think the time to start making that initial contact, to start making having those discussions would be right now. That way, when things start to really matter and you need things to get moving as quickly as possible, then you already have the structures in place.
The $64 million question, Rocky, in normal times, how long, you mentioned 2 to 3 months, but how long to set up an entire entity with all of the certificates, and also then, getting an office? How long can that whole process take a person, and how long should they leave to do all this comfortably?
Well, as I said, 2 to 3 months, right? So the
The
two to
whole
three
thing.
months for the whole thing, as long as you have all your ducks in a row beforehand. When I say ducks in a row is, where you're going to set up your business. You already have your structure in mind. You know what your capital structure is. As long as you've done the work beforehand, there is no reason why you should. It shouldn't take longer than 2 to 3 months. Well, of course, barring the physical the physical matters that need to get taken care of, which are variable. For example, physically actually setting up your offices, fitting out your furnishing, if construction needs to get done. I wouldn't count that as part of the setup process, because that can vary wildly from company to company. But in terms of getting the regulatory side set up, 2 to 3 months, 4 months would be very comfortable.
Where do you see the future of this? You know, previously, outsourcing suppliers were in place to manage the friction of doing business internationally or globally, or having your workforce globally. Do you think that it will come to a point where, you know, we're all playing in in one global arena, and there'll be no need for these intermediaries, and it is just as easy as employing someone in your own hometown to set up, you know, in somewhere such as Manila? Do you think that a lot of this friction will be washed away over the next 20 to 30 years, and it will just become standard employment?
I honestly don't see it. With labor rates being as high as they are in the United States and in Europe and even Australia or even some of our neighbors, and it's going to be very difficult to see a future where the Philippines countries like the Philippines offering the kind of value proposition that we do become completely irrelevant. Again, they say that the advances in AI and bots and are threaten the way of life for call center agents and tech support, but and don't quote me on this, but from the people that I've spoken to who are in that industry, it's still quite a ways off. And at the end of the day, there will be some functions that you won't be able to do without a human touch.
Yeah, I completely agree, and I think it's important to bear in mind that you want to be the ones in control of the automation, not being controlled by the automation and eradicated by the automation. So there's always going to be roles that are creating the automation and AI, and I think it's just a case of staying ahead of that curve. Yeah,
Right. I mean,
Rocky,
things can
thank
change
you.
in terms of the application. Sorry, things can
No.
change in terms of the application, but the human element will never fully be removed.
Completely agree. Rocky, if anyone wants to get in touch with anything to do with the legal or, you know, accounting aspects, or incorporating or entering the Philippines, well, I suppose initially, you know, before you give your details, what is the process? You know, how do people start to find out about this? Is it really just sitting down and having a conversation, or is there a sort of particular process that people should follow?
I think it's just a matter of figuring out in making that decision, making that not even a commitment, but having a clear idea in mind of what it is you want to accomplish by setting up your business in the Philippines. Once you have that at least halfway clear, then start doing your research. Give us a call, give somebody else, better yet, if you know somebody from the Philippines, have a conversation with that person. And then, once you're at that stage where you want to have more information, you want to be able to get more insight on the details and setting up in the business, setting up your business in the Philippines, then give us a call.
And how should they contact you, Rocky, if they want to get in touch with Enter
Sure.
PH?
Right. They can, visit our website at www.enterph.com. You can send me an email at rocky@enterph.com. Very reachable. If not me, then one of the consultants will be around and at least schedule a call with you. Then we can have a good conversation about your goals and what it is you want to accomplish here in the Philippines. So it's a free, the first consultation. I mean, we don't really charge for anything. We just want like sitting people down and preaching the gospel of the Philippines.
I always encourage everyone, any client coming into the Philippines, to explore all options. And I think that they sometimes see the only options as going completely freelance, you know, and everything's illegitimate, or going into a full BPO structure. And there are so many more options. You know, Philippines is a huge economy with 110 million people. It's a very established economy, and there's a lot of big business here. So there's a lot of options to present and to consider without wanting to get too complicated. But certainly, you know, give someone like Rocky or NTPH a call and explore those alternative options. Thank you so much, Rocky, for your time.
No problem. Thank you for having me, Derek.
That was Rocky Chan of EnterPH. If you want any of the links or things that we mentioned, go to our show notes, which is at outsourceaccelerator.com/podcast. And as always, if you want to ask us anything, then just send us an email to ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you next time.